Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to the Churros y Tacticas podcast. Rest in peace to Diego Lorin's ears. He actually physically took his headphones off for that whole intro. Rest in peace to your ears. Actually, hopefully that you didn't have the volume up too high for that, listening in your car or your headphones or wherever you are. I apologize. It's a small price to peer. I'm just completely delirious. It's a small price to pay for your eardrums if you're a Madridista. And if you're a culé, sorry. But what a week, what a weekend. I mean, we had the Patreon episode on Friday. And you know, we were kind of time pressed
to talk about.
But Diego had a part two for our patrons because people were starving for it. Ratings were great. Thanks for everyone for tuning in over on patreon.com/churrositacticas for the anticipated Friday show. And this one might be even more anticipated because not only do all the Madridistas want to hear how Diego sat through the Chelsea game and then the Frankfurt game on Friday, but now he has to tell us how he sat through the Sevilla game. Up 2-0 at halftime. You're feeling pretty good about yourself, Diego. Like, this might be a turning point. But then, the inevitable. Mm-hmm. Karim Benzema. I mean, and the funny thing is, at 2-2, 90th minute, I was like, cool, I'll take this. I'm happy with this. And then the cherry on the top of the cake. Just beautiful from Karim Benzema, so... it's a great day. It's a great Monday. And we're recording this before Barcelona beat up Cadiz later today. So we don't, that's the context. We don't know the score for that yet. We don't know if it's going to be 5-0 or 6-0 or 8-0. But we just know that Barca are going to be a game in hand, not two games in hand, plus 3 points ahead. That's all we know. We don't know what the scoreline for the Barca-Cadiz game is. So enough blabbering. I'm Kian Sabani.
I'm joined by Diego Lorin. If I were Madridista right now listening to you, Sobani, I would be insulted and disappointed that you didn't have the faith that Madrid could actually get all 3 points out of this match after having drawn 2-2. Was still all that added. The 2-2 came in what? The 90... No, excuse me, sorry. At the 80... What minute? 82nd minute? I don't have it in front.
I don't know, man. I was celebrating. I'm not keeping track of these things. I'm just going crazy. It was the 82nd minute Nacho scored 2-2.
Correct, 82nd. I knew they were going to score the other goal. That was so blatantly obvious. This was, once again, what we have seen on so many times and that I discussed at this point at length, I think, in the Patreon edition episodes, the one of the Sunday, Easter Sunday special, which was, again, a lot of fun. But you're basically asking me to rehash those feelings. But it was expected. And at this point in time, you just throw your hands up and go. Like Butragueño said, he's like, today is a good day to be proud of this team, and a good day to be Madridista. And that's these are at the moment good times to be Madridista, because I don't know how the hell you do it, you know, going down the majority of matches, crucial ones against big opponents. You guys just like the suffering, or having other people having to endure the suffering and go from, you know, unrealistic expectations to actually seeing maybe Madrid drop points or get knocked out of a tournament to then them picking up the 3 points or advancing to the next round. So it's incredibly frustrating watching Madrid at the moment. For all the Madridistas, these are good times for you. Enjoy.
Wait, so do you think Butragueño after the game was driving home with the top down, listening to Ice Cube, smoking a cigar? That would
smoking
be
smoking a blunt.
I would like to live in that reality where he's doing that. It's not that I didn't have faith. I actually did have faith, funny enough. I actually was confident that we would do it, but it's just that I was happy with the 2-2 at that point. I was like, this is fine. We don't need...
Me like, too. I was like, I'll, not, take, the, a terrible I'll take the result. Draw. I'll take the draw. Just don't go for a third. I'll take the draw.
Well, but you knew that was coming. It had to do with partly because that Sevilla were just melting down. It was like the classic PSG-Chelsea meltdown where it's like, oh, here it comes. We don't know what to do. We're paralyzed. We know it's coming. We can't stop this. And we're just going to... It's inevitable.
Deer in the headlight.
But at halftime, did you think that? Watching the second half, how it was going down, you could sense it. But at halftime, did you feel like Sevilla were looking pretty comfortable?
Well, looking comfortable, but you're never comfortable. You're always like, let's go. I mean, I tweeted it from the Churros account as well on during the Madrid-Chelsea game when Madrid or Chelsea rather were up 3-0. Was it 3-0, 3-1?
I forget. Chelsea was up 3-0.
Up 3-0. So they were through.
Yeah.
And I tweeted, like, don't stop. Like, don't keep this going, this level of intensity. Don't get the deer in the head, like, look. Don't get intimidated if Madrid get one back. Because
at
it's
this
only
point, you
one
need, like,
goal.
A 5-goal cushion against us at this point.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, you know what? I'll take it as a compliment. I actually felt this way during peak Barca years, where it's like, no matter what, Barca found a way, you know. And that always drove me nuts. So I'm just happy to be on the other side of things for once. So don't worry, it's Enjoy. Coming to an end. We're playing City.
Good.
It's all going to come to an end. Yeah.
Well, I brought that up on, I don't know how much you were listening to Easter Sunday Churro special.
I was not.
Support right there. Buddy.
I don't get high off my own supply. Churros is for the consumers, not for the creators.
Well, you know, it was just me. You were, it was Kianless. It was Sobaniless. There was no Sobani sprinkle. No,
for part
anyway,
two.
For part two, yes. But I brought up the fact, I brought up some big data stats, you know, that nowadays it's always fun to talk about stats, and these big data stats are, of course, are often used as sort of indicators to where things stand. And needless to say, these experts who have conducted these analysis, these tests, have concluded that Real Madrid are not just not favorites, by a long shot not the favorites against Manchester City.
10%. Instead,
they put them at 10. Or I thought it was a little above. I thought 10 was low. I thought they had them at 12 or something like that. But
it depends on who it was. 538 has them at 10% right now.
Okay.
And Villarreal at 1% or something like that.
Obviously. Yeah. But also against Chelsea, were Madrid not the favorite to go through? So I mentioned that these big data stats are a bunch of big bullshit when it comes to Real Madrid, and you can't put your money against Los Blancos.
It's an interesting point. So I remember, I always check these things because I'm interested in them. After the group stages, we were behind, we were like eighth favorite, and we were like, behind Ajax too, and I can't remember who else, but Chelsea was ahead of us, Ajax was ahead of us, I can't remember, I think it was like just some of the obvious ones who weren't, like Benfica, Villarreal, or whoever. And obviously that's changed now because we're past PSG and Chelsea, we're behind PSG too obviously, and Bayern's out now, so City's missing a couple of key players in the first leg, that'll work for us a little bit. I mean, it's not I'm not saying like, I'm not celebrating, I'm just saying that some of the timing stuff works in our favor playing City right now, and especially watching them get whipped by Liverpool. But
yeah, some amazing games those, huh?
I only watched the first half, but it was very interesting to see how City react when you kind of play bully ball with them, push them around a little bit, press. But I just don't think Real Madrid will play them that way. Apart from like the last 10 minutes of the second leg, they'll start doing that. Well, this is interesting too. So like the part of the way this is just a 10% part of it. It's not like the full picture, but part of the reason Real Madrid do go into these late comebacks late in the second half is because, according to Ancelotti anyway, the explanation is that we don't press, and teams go crazy pressing us. They run out of gas towards the end, and then we take over. That's Ancelotti's like scientific explanation.
So it's like the what is the saying? The tortoise wins the race, or how is that saying?
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Actually, it's a good one. Yeah. Well done. Look, you're even smiling thinking of that analogy. We're like, wow, that one really hit home. Look, you're so happy.
No, I'm smiling at myself because I got super fucking burned today. My face is, it's like gleaming. It's beaming right now. It's so red. You could cook a fried egg on my forehead.
People are still confused as to why Diego wears sunglasses. It's because he literally sits across from the sun. Not just the sun, but like the sun. You're in there. The sun is in your house.
We've been out these last 2 days and these Easter holidays. They've been nice. They've been different. Connecting with family, having the kids out, cousins reconnecting.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. That's what life is all about.
Summer's coming.
Keeps you sane.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, look, it's you could also talk about or draw the comparisons between, you know, boxing matches that go to 12 rounds where in the final, in the last like 10 rounds, or excuse me, in the final two rounds, say in round 10, the boxer just, the one has been tiring out his opponent, still has that little bit of energy left in the tank to basically
classic Muhammad
him.
Ali.
Classic Muhammad, right? Exactly. So it's legitimate. It's commendable. Madrid have now been proving to have mastered that against very, very, you know, Europe's elite, tough opponents from PSG to Chelsea to Sevilla. And I'm sure you could even throw a lot more into the mix. Only team they can't do it to is Barca, funny enough. I feel like Barca are always the only team that are able to, at moments where Madrid are peaking, to then cause this disruptive, you know, crazy scoreline where we just wipe the floor with Real Madrid and getting our hopes up and getting Madridistas temporarily sort of like, this Catalan wave that just knocked them around, and then they steadily continue their course for the rest of that season. I do think, you know, that time will change, and I do think that Barca were on, we've now sort of hit rock bottom and we're bouncing back up, and hopefully it'll be extremely volatile. And I think that next season, when Xavi has an entire summer with the team and, you know, we see which players we can finally offload and still acquire, that, like, as you keep mentioning, as we keep discussing, that's the season where we will you know, really sort of judge Xavi on. And I have also complete conviction that he will do a good job. He already has. He's blown away our expectations to be critical of Xavi, and we can nitpick about that game in Eintracht, what went wrong, but to be critical and, you know, you hear some of the stuff that has been coming out of, let's say, Giuseppe Pedrol's mouth, a culé, entre comillas, a self-confessed culé. He talks about, I don't care, we should be right. So he talks about him as
who, Pedrol?
Pedrol, yeah. No, he says he's culé. That's his shtick. That's his thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's his fucking thing, bro.
I don't pay attention to that show, but I mean, why are we?
But there's certain things because it fits the narrative, right? Here's this anti, here's this Madridist, this guy married to Papa Flo.
I see. Confesses, so it's an act.
It's an act. It's a fucking act.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. So why are we even discussing anything he says?
Why? Because their reach is massive, you know. Yeah. When you see papers like Mundo Deportivo get
people must know, though. People know it's not real, right? It's just like WWE.
Well,
it's...
you get a bit of everything. You get those that are intelligent or skeptical enough to
wow, shots fired at the people who are not intelligent, who believe
I mean, it's disgusting is what it is. It's But, you know, it's entertaining. It keeps this whole circus going at the end of the day. And, you know, like I said, you read articles coming from Mundo Deportivo as well. You wonder if the people writing are not actually Espanyol fans. And again, the guy that I quote often, that I refer to here on this pod, is Mr. Seitan. He recently did a video about that whole media manipulation that goes on by these so-called culés. And it's definitely worth a watch, like I always recommend his videos. But to get back on track, Xavi, for me, it's not a disaster. The way it happened was an absolute disaster, but it's not a disaster for Xavi to have crashed out in the quarterfinals of the Europa League. You know what I mean? It's unfortunate that the night became a disastrously historically bad night from so many aspects, right? From an institutional aspect as well as also sporting, because at the end of the day, you know, you don't want to be losing 3-0 at home against the ninth seeded team in a Bundesliga, ideally. But after 15 consecutive, was it wins for Barca, or was it wins or just not losses? I forget now.
Unbeaten for sure. I don't remember if it was all wins. Unbeaten, though.
Right. Yeah. you know, at some point we were going to obviously suffer a loss, and it's unfortunate again that this had to happen in this game, in this particular manner, in front of like a sea of white shirts. Half of it pretty much in the Camp Nou, and people getting vomited on. Anyway, I've beaten that one to death. I'm not going to go back to that.
Yeah, we discussed it. If you're a patron, you've heard it. Well, apparently Laporta is coming out tomorrow with a press conference, right? As far as I understand, you would know better than me, but he's going to address or bring up some of the investigative reporting on what happened and how he's going to prevent it. I mean, I'm curious to know what his solution for that is, how he's going to stop people from selling their tickets. I don't know, but I guess maybe putting some... it's kind of a hard one to regulate, right? But I'd be curious to know what he comes up with.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Speaking of Barca, you're not allowed to say anything. I know. You can't even react to what I'm saying, but I'm just going to say it. Everyone by now has heard these PK, the leaked audio, the reports. I mean, some of it's
have
not
you heard
really...
it or just read the transcript.
No, there's actually audio.
Yeah, no, I know there is, but have you heard it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've just read the transcript. I haven't heard the audio.
Yeah. Huh. So it's not really surprising. I mean, we kind of knew that PK always has his business interests at play,
especially in these kind of tournament sporting events, tournament, the Davis Cup.
Mm-hmm. He's a smart businessman. We can talk about the ethical side of things, but he knows how to make money. He was also born into a wealthy family who knows how to make money, and that's passed on to him. I know you can't talk about some things, but I think I can ask you maybe about some part of it that maybe you might be allowed to answer. But I also, my thought is that if you follow this PK trajectory, I think he's on course to being like the kind of ex-footballer who just becomes, like, takes the Platini route, the Davor Šuker route, where it's just 20 years from now he's just this guy who's involved in all these scandals and corruption.
Scandals, that, yeah, you think so.
If I had to guess where this is going, I think it's going to be Piqué is going to be like the next kind of Platini type figure, where he's like kicked out of something because of corruption and very good PR. Always talks about, like, you know, football is for the fans, the people. But I did want to ask you another part of it. I think the biggest thing is that, like, when you hear the conversation, which seems a bit surreal, if you're the two other clubs that enter the Spanish Super Cup, you're not Real Madrid or Barcelona getting the bigger piece of the pie, and you hear something like that, do you think there's going to be is there a chance where those two teams are like, fuck you guys, you guys go do your Super Cup, that's disrespectful for us? And does the Super Cup collapse at that point? Like, what happens? Does it turn into just a classic in Saudi Arabia every year?
Or does it actually... Right. I mean, who's to say that it'll always be there? Or will it just go back to being the champion of the Copa and the champion of the league, and that's it, and held in Spain again?
Just back to normal, yeah.
Back to normal.
But so, that's not as much money.
No, of course not.
Also, what happens on the day where Real Madrid and Barcelona aren't good enough to be in the top four, and they don't even, like, there's no, they're not part of the Spanish Super Cup? Does it still happen that year? You know what I mean? I mean, that.
Yeah, I mean, this deal is for until 2024, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I don't know.
I don't remember how long. I mean, this is not, we can't talk about this neither, as this from here on in will every year take place in a foreign land for, you know, the international audience to enjoy. And again, like, I am not fully against that train of thought. I don't see necessarily the problem with bringing the entertainment across the globe, that millions of it is so much bigger than what we can imagine. Barca, no. Madrid and the game of football, that why not, you know, ik gun het andere mensen, like I grant it to other, I would, if I would be living in Asia, in the Middle East, in the Americas, I would also would love it if the, you know, the Beatles come to town and I get to see them in live and flesh in my own neighborhood with my family, and you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
go to the game and watch my idols play in my top team. So
but that's not the problem. The problem is that a player shouldn't be benefiting from that directly. It's a conflict of interest, you know. So an example of this would be Florentino Perez, who is who owns one of the largest construction companies in Spain. The entire Bernabeu is not being renovated by his company. He's outsourcing that to another company. So he's not personally benefiting from that. You know what I mean? It's a, because it's a conflict of interest. So Piqué can't be.
I would like to send Jordi Evole to research this one. I'm sure you talk about mafia, you talk about dodginess. If you think, well, Papa Flo is clean as can be.
That's not what I'm saying. At least in this respect, I mean, he's not, believe whatever conspiracies you want. I'm not going to stop you from believing that.
But so now it's conspiracy.
But do you understand what I'm saying? No, but I'm. But my point is, but okay. So in that case, if there's a conspiracy there, that's also wrong. But my point is that a player shouldn't be benefiting directly from this, from his own company. It's a conflict of interest. You know what I mean? Also, because what he says is publicly is different from what he's actually doing behind the scenes.
What has he said publicly?
Well, just that he always... I mean, is he publicly for the Spanish Super Cup in Saudi Arabia? Or is he kind of in the camp of, you know, we should...
I don't know
either, but it's just... It doesn't add up that he's benefiting this from this financially, privately, when no other player has a stake in this. You know what I mean? It's his company.
So now we want players to be retired before they get financially, let's say, involved in the business side of it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's a good question. I mean, you're making me think about it too differently. But doesn't it feel a bit off to you that he's privately benefiting from this deal?
if I would sit and ponder and you know, view this as a conflict of interest, as you mentioned, I would just want to know, okay, so how is this in the conflict? So Piqué being a Barça player, Barça getting paid the amount of money that was heard in that audio, and at least that what I read in this transcript, and then Cosmos receiving their piece of the pie being that much.
Which is his company.
Which is his company. And, you know, I'm not into, and then Rubiales taking his piece of the pie as the federation, of course. I'm not entirely sure how this pie was being split up, so I don't know how much the other teams were getting neither. That wasn't reported in the article I read. But would you have felt, what if it was, let's say, a representative, so let's say a spokesman of Cosmos, that would have actually been having these conversations with the head of the Spanish Football Federation, and Piqué's name would have not been necessarily attached. Well, it would have been attached to Cosmos, but more of, let's say, a founding partner or something. Would that have made a difference? Meaning, like, I think what people are now very, say, shocked by is also the fact that it's obviously Piqué at the front of these negotiations.
Yeah, he's literally talking, and he's saying these two teams get 1 or 2 million. Real Madrid and Barcelona will get 8.
Yeah,
Cosmos is, and also again, according to those audio files that El Confidencial leaked, I think it was them.
Yes.
Cosmos gets like $24 million over the course of 4 years, I think, as part of this.
I don't know if it was, yeah, four or.
So the thing about this is that it's not illegal. So
I would need somebody to explain to me, Diego, this is why this is a conflict of interest. Because if Piqué gets this much and then Barça this, then right now I see Piqué, the businessman.
Well, the conflict of interest is
benefiting from.
The conflict of interest is that Barca, he doesn't, it, for him, it, financially, it doesn't matter if Barcelona lose or win that tournament, because he's getting paid.
Sure.
It's, you know.
Well, maybe he gets more as a Barca player, because if he wins a title and in his contract, in his clause, he probably gets merits, you know, bonuses on merits, on achievements, on titles, you know.
It's like betting against your own team. In like a game, whereas like if you lose, well, if you win, it's better.
Why? But,
well, because regardless of if they win or lose, he's getting paid. So how much incentive does he have to even care to win that?
Yeah, but that's
tournament?
That's Cosmos. That's I'm sure that Piqué being
you don't think he gets a salary,
the business mogul, but being the businessman that he is, that he's able to wear the different hats. Like, I'm representing my company Cosmos. I'm representing Fútbol Club Barcelona as a player. Where, and let's have no doubt neither that we all expect Piqué will at some point in time become, or at least run for club president. He's been very open about that, how he could see himself do that, right? So I'm sure at that point, I mean, like Florentino Pérez, like so many club presidents, they bring business always into the equation with being both a club president, whether they benefiting from it as well in their previous line of work. You know what I mean? Like, so if presidents can benefit from being at the heads of the club from different perspectives and have different, you know, business deals in place because of the position that they have been put in, then why wouldn't players be allowed to?
I don't think that makes it right either, though. I don't think presidents should.
You're right. Maybe that doesn't make it right, and maybe that's what I'm trying to point out. That maybe that this whole thing then, therefore, is kind of fucked up. And maybe that's a conversation that we should be having in that case. Then it should have been held a long time ago.
But that's why I brought the Florentino Perez thing up. It's like, because a way of benefiting would be like, if he's pushing for that stadium to get renovated so adamantly, wanting.
We know that the whole controversy as well between the Valdebebas. It's been reported in the news as well. There's been so much talk about how Florentino is massively benefiting from this entire operation that has been taking place. I'm talking about Valdebebas, huh?
Well, if that was the case 22 years ago when it happened, then that's not right either. As far as I understand, this one is not like that. But either way, it wouldn't make it right either way if he was. Because if he was pushing so adamantly to renovate a stadium now before his tenure ends because he retires or whatever, and he wants that to be part of his legacy, if he's directly benefiting financially from that because his construction company is doing that, then that's a bad look. But he's, you know, that it's being outsourced to a different construction company. And so, but either way, I don't think a player can be benefiting from this financially when he's directly involved. So actually, to your question earlier, should he be retired? Yeah, I think that would actually make more sense in that case. If he's not playing in this directly, it's not a conflict of interest. You know, that's the way I see it. So, yeah, I'm curious to know what the aftermath is of this, because I'm curious to know how the other two teams react.
Yeah,
if they do at all, it doesn't matter. Maybe this is just a force that is going to go ahead regardless of what people think or not. I don't know. And maybe those two teams decide, hey, we'll take those even 1 or 2 million, and it's still good for us, even though we're not getting a share of the pie. And quite frankly, it's not too dissimilar from TV rights and different teams getting different shares of the pie based on how big they are and how much revenue they bring. You know, that's capitalism 101. But it's a bad look. And
I bring up the NBA often, or we both do, as a reference. And again, here I see it in a similar light, where the NBA goes on tour in Europe or in Asia and plays a few games there, to the delight of the local fans. And I don't know the business deals. Yeah,
again, that's different. I don't have an issue with them traveling. I mean, I kind of do, actually. I don't want them to travel because too much football, too much traveling, players are dying from fatigue. Yes. But I don't, in theory, I don't hate it.
Which himself actually even complained about, right?
Who?
I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I want to remember that Piqué himself once complained about the traveling as well that teams have to do,
right?
For these kind of games.
Ironically. That goes back to the point of like what he's saying publicly and privately is different. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't have the quote in front of me to say for sure if that was true or not. But
we gotta edit this out.
Fuck! I don't like editing. Which part?
I'm joking. Go, keep going.
Oh, thank God. Again, the traveling aspect of it, that's marketing. You know, in theory, as much as I don't love it, I also understand why they do it. It's expanding global reach and stuff, and, you know, capitalizing on things financially. Although, like, I will say, this is an interesting point, like, that in the Chicago podcast, we were talking about the idea of having Clásicos in North America and stuff, because I feel that's inevitable too. I feel like I'm not talking about friendlies, because there's a friendly Clásico coming up this summer in, I think, California somewhere, right? And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like real league Clásicos, I think, will be moved to the States at some point. I think it could be now or 20 years from now, but I feel like it's going to happen one day, right? Yeah. And but I made this point, like, people say, like, for those people, like, let's say in Miami, who may never get to see a Clásico, it's a good opportunity for them. But I was thinking about this. Like, let's think about this. The people who can afford to go to buy, like, a $10,000 ticket to a Clásico in Miami, those people are not going to have problems paying for a ticket to Spain for a weekend. So it's not like we're bringing the football to these people who wouldn't otherwise be able to afford to watch it. So I'm like, are those people even really doing a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity thing, or would they just have money to do this anyway whenever they want? It was just something I thought about.
I get because, that.
Yeah.
I've thought about it from that perspective myself as well. But look, it does change. And you mentioned a very specific group of people as well. You would think that the majority of the people that would go to a game, if it's played locally, would not necessarily, you know, be able to pay. I mean, traveling is a costly affair, especially if you have a family. One thing is riding solo and playboying, jet setting your way around to
the world's amazing, most amazing stadiums to watch your team play, leaving the wife and kids behind in a blizzard. But while
you it's are... also a whole experience too. Like it'll be the training. I know what you're doing. I'm just changing the subject. It's fine. It'll be a whole experience, right? They'll do like the whole. You'll be able to watch them practice for a day before, and you know, maybe get some things signed. Like I guess it's a whole experience. Yeah,
they do. You might meet them in the lobby. They do this little signing. Signing autographs and stuff.
This is about as raw churro set I think listeners will get.
But listen,
this episode, it's been a lot of just talking as if we would talk off air, like just on air.
Like we would talk off air. But this topic was an interesting one. Dealt with it very well. So I wasn't sure how I was going to comment about it. Good job.
So anything else to talk about La Liga? Big wins for Atleti and Villarreal. One concern I have, it is interesting also that Barca, Sevilla, Atletico are all level on points, but I think the top four is what it is. I don't think it's going to change much unless somehow Betis sneak in. I don't know, but the one thing I wanted to bring up as a concern is that Gerard Moreno, who scored against Getafe, now again has injury concerns and might not be ready for the Liverpool game. And that was devastating news to hear today when I checked the news.
Damn.
That sucks. So that's just something that I worry for them.
Although their numbers are not bad without Gerard.
They're not bad, but he raises their ceiling for sure.
Clearly.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, now Barca, Sevilla, Atletico, they're going to focus on the league. They're out of Europe, and Real Madrid can focus on the Champions League. 15 points ahead now. If Barca win both of those games, it's 9 points, and with like eight games to go,
that's why this one was so frustrating.
This one kind of sealed it for me.
This has sealed it. And I was watching with my brother-in-law, and he was like, "Yeah, but you know, Madrid are up by 12 points anyway." And I was like, "No, you don't understand. The thing is,
it could have been six.
It could have been six.
Yeah,
that's why I was like, we could have been fucking six.
Yeah,
you know, we win our game in hand, we cut it to nine. If you guys drop points here, we win against obviously Cadiz, and it could have been six. Like it just could have been 6 points. It could have been 6 points, and then it would have been interesting. That it would have again been game on. Let's see what happens in this final stretch of the season where you still have some banana peels to go through. So. But now this one, this was the knockout one, and the way it happened obviously was just all the more frustrating, as we talked about at length in the beginning. And it's good times to be a Madridista, you lucky cunts.
Even me, who was like always very cautious, like anything can happen in football, you know, you never know. After this one, I was like, even if Barca win everything and we even lose a couple games somehow, like even then, we're still comfortable, and so I just, to me, that sealed it. Like and you noticed it when Benzema scored, they celebrated. That was the title right there. They celebrated like they won the title, and I think that's a pretty appropriate celebration. I don't know if Xavi say anything. Yeah. Are we allowed to celebrate that? Are we allowed to be happy, or is it? But because we played bad in the first half, I don't know.
You are petty. Don't do that.
It's just, I'm just pacing myself, to be honest. I could be going more crazy about Xavi, but I just know that there's like another 10 years of Xavi feuds that are coming. And so this is just the beginning. Just wait. But just
the thing is, like, Xavi, if anything, what he's doing is holding Madrid up to a higher standard.
I agree.
For a Madridista, you would have to agree with that.
I actually do agree with that. I agree with that. I think it's I think the Xavi Raul days, which are inevitable, will be very interesting. Very interesting. Because I think if there's anyone who can poke Raul into some controversy, it's probably Xavi, right? Mm-hmm. Raul is like such a diplomatic guy. But I think I think he's gonna.
Thought that about Butragueño until the Mourinho era. I saw a different side of Butragueño come out all of a sudden. Since then, I figured that anybody, any Madridista, can be turned into a radical, and this whole facade of señorío comes down.
Oh, we're talking about PR now and marketing, Mescu and Club. Señorío is a far less marketed thing, though, than Mescu and Club.
You guys try.
Butragueño also last night came out and said some stuff about the referee. I think if there's one thing that can push Real Madrid out of diplomacy, it's referee stuff. The club has put videos about referee controversies before from the club's website.
Yes.
Butragueño last night was pretty candid, like saying, mm-hmm. you know, we don't understand it, the VAR and all this, and
mm-hmm. which, and again, for me, that was handball.
No, stop it.
Objectively,
no.
I swear, I had no problem with that call. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that on the TV I was hearing such a assertive argument saying this is the wrong call. It's clearly not a handball. This is Becho. It touches him on his bicep.
No, it doesn't. It's here. It's above the sleeve. It's like it's above. It's right here. It's where this is right here. The viewers can see where I'm rubbing my shoulder right here. But
some oil on that bicep.
But isn't it funny how everyone thinks they're the victim, whereas the truth is, refs suck. Forgive me, I don't work for anyone, so I guess I can say that technically without getting fired. The Camavinga no foul in the first half, bad call. Vinicius Disla goal, bad call. Sevilla are gonna cry. Real Madrid are gonna cry. Refs suck. That's it.
Yeah.
And I had to remind Madridistas of that last night on the podcast. People were like, oh, you know, the ref hates us. This happened in Seville. This is what drives me up the wall, is that without naming names, I think there's people will know who I'm talking about. There's a Spanish media personality, one in particular, who doesn't tweet anything but referees against Real Madrid agenda. Came out last night and said, this happened against the Sevilla handball was the last season.
Roncero?
No. But maybe him too, I don't know. But I kind of resonate with him more because he's just like this passionate football fan who just is emotional all the time. I kind of resonate with that. I don't mind him as much. But like, anyways, I had to remind people on the podcast as well, like, dude, let's not kid ourselves. We should have probably been down to 10 men at halftime, and then down two goals and a man at halftime. I don't know if we're making that comeback. So let's be real. It's just the bad referee was bad, you know.
I dig that. That's fair.
I dig that. It was kind of like sometimes the truth is just in the middle, man. It's that solid. Mm-hmm. The truth is in the middle sometimes.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Do you want to talk about anything else?
I like to be. No, just that my family is walking up the stairs, getting the fire started for the barbecue.
Oh, that sounds good.
Fire started, yes.
And, I can't wait to see my kids tomorrow. I'm so excited. It's gonna be
right because you were not there for Easter's.
Yeah, we don't celebrate Easter.
Not something you celebrate.
No, but I mean, it's not that we don't celebrate it, but we just don't have a thing. It's just another day for us. But, you know, we still do like a little bit of chocolates and stuff. Yeah, we do that. We put some eggs around the house. Yeah, for sure.
My kid and his cousin, they woke up at 3 a.m. I talked about it on the pod. 3 a.m. they thought it was a good idea to wake children up and go egg hunting through the house. It was like 3:30. We hearing like little noises, like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the fuck? And then my wife and I walk out. It's the two boys walking around the house, and they've got like, they found all the eggs already. And they're just like,
that's hilarious. But, that's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Where does like all the I don't know your house. Our house is just years and years of Easter and Halloween chocolates and candies stashed that nobody eats.
Oh yeah.
It's just like I don't even know, and no one has the balls to throw it out because they feel like they're wasting food. Sometimes when we have guests, we'll put it out, but we don't even do that because it's obvious we're just putting out Halloween candy like in the summertime. They're like, "Oh, you still have these?" And it's just piling up. I feel like in 20 years we're going to be on like a TLC documentary where someone is coming in like, and it's like, why is your house so cluttered, and they got to clear it out, and we're like, no, we can't throw out food. And I don't even think you can donate it because everyone has this problem. Everyone has too much candy and chocolate. What we need to be donating is healthy food and stashing those, but healthy food is perishable, unfortunately.
It's funny you say that. We do have a cupboard with nasty ass old Halloween candy that are just disgusting.
Yes.
We do also, being Swiss, obviously my wife and me having lived there for so long, Swiss chocolate is a must in the household and will always be eaten.
Yeah, and that's different though. That's not like, that's like a thing you can actually eat. Like I eat a ton of dark chocolate every day. I love that. Mm-hmm. But it's different from candy, right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I've been really into 85% chocolate these days.
I'm a big dark chocolate.
Though. Yeah. I tried the other day at the airport. I was looking for some, but they only had 90.
Is hardcore.
What? 85 is, but it's in the sweet spot for me. But I got 90% in the airport the other day because they didn't have 85, and that was too far. It's amazing how much that 5% will make it so much more bitter. Yeah.
Well, it's so bitter. Have you ever tried pure?
Yeah, I mean, that's just...
It fucks you up. It's like you can't. My best friend and his mom used to have these strange jars with shit. And whenever we would, after going out for a night, we'd get home and like raid the fridge or whatever. And one night I like, you know, we're eating chocolate milk or, you know, whatever, like bread with Nutella, and I wanted chocolate milk. I was dying for chocolate milk. So I grabbed this jar and it said like cacao written on it. So I mix it with milk and I'm shaking it and I just started gulping it down and it tasted like fucking ass. So bad.
Good for you though. Packed with antioxidants when it's that dark. Yeah.
Yeah. My God. Oh, it was undrinkable. I had to chuck it.
Drink it. Yeah. I still have my 90%. It's in my backpack if you want. Next time I see you, I'll give you mine if you want. Yeah. All right, man. Well, you go enjoy time with your family and back to work for me. And we'll be back Friday over on patreon.com/tactica.
You stay out of trouble. Keep those sheets clean, all right?
Noted. Writing this down as
have pity on the cleaning services, please.
Will do. Noted, man. Thank you so much for the advice. And
I love you, Kia.
If you think this is raw, just wait till the Friday episodes. patreon.com/churrositacticas. That's when it gets really, really disgusting. So if you want access to that. Thanks, Diego. Thanks, listeners.
You don't lie. All right.
Enjoy. Bye-bye. Take care. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.